there's a neat thing about today. I'm actually preaching to the choir. Before we get started, I have a couple of announcements that we'd like to make. As a church, we are called to be the hands and feet of Christ in our community and to our body. Today there's two opportunities for us to be able to serve members of our own congregation. And so Mike's not here, but Mike's next round of chemotherapy is coming up in a week or two. And so he's just now kind of getting over the chemo that he just had. And so as a family, we would like to be able to help Jan out as she is preparing meals and things. So if you feel led to give, we're asking that you would go buy a gift card to a restaurant in the Powers area and out in this area. And we're going to put them together and take them to them so that they don't have to worry about cooking and things like that. So that's the first thing. Michael and Lisa, Michael's father, Papa, passed away early this week. And so the funeral, the memorial service, will be this Friday at 11 o'clock. And they don't have a large, they have a large family, but they don't have a lot of family in the area. And so as an outpouring of love, we would like to support them by showing up for the memorial service to support them and show them our love. So that's this Friday at 11 o'clock. And Bobby is preparing some food. And the Caring Hearts is also working on that. So also just to kind of maybe give you a glimpse into that family's life. They have just told us that they don't believe that they would have gotten this support from the church that they belong to. And so they're excited that they're being cared for in the way that they are. So our passage this morning is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 through 23. And you can look it up in your Bible or on your Bible app. It'll be on the screen behind us when we get to it. And Thanksgiving is approaching in a couple of weeks. When I think of Thanksgiving, I think of great big meals and gathering around with family and overeating. And so I'm starting to think about what I'm thankful for this year. At Thanksgiving, we sit around the table and we say what we're thankful for. Today we celebrate Veterans Day, so we're thankful for the country we live in and for the people that have volunteered to protect us. Not many countries can say that their military is a volunteer military, and for that we are grateful for people that make that sacrifice, that time away from family, to serve, and we are grateful for all those who have been on the front lines in putting themselves in harm's way to protect us as well. So for that, we are thankful. At this point, would anybody who has served in the military or is currently serving in the military please stand up? I'd like to recognize you. Thank you all for your service. So we are thankful for not just your service, but your family and the sacrifice that they make in supporting our military as well. So it's thankful to have so many gifts in this life. And so today we're going to be looking at Ephesians 1, verses 13 through 23. And in this passage, Paul is thankful for something, and I'm going to share that with you. In verse 13, it says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So to give you a background on this story, Paul is in prison in Rome as he's writing to the Ephesians, right? So he is sitting in prison, and he's heard of this group of believers in Ephesus, and they are Gentiles. They're complete strangers to him, and he's writing to encourage them, right? And then, as we get into the passage, he gives thanks for the believers in Ephesus. In verse 15, it says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." He doesn't know these people at all. He doesn't know them, but he has heard about their faith and their growing body, the church growing there. And he's thankful to hear about them. You know, he's sitting in prison in Rome, and he hears of their faith, and he's thankful. Could you imagine sitting in a prison cell, right, knowing that you're probably going to be executed, and being there and being thankful? Well, this isn't the first time where Paul talks about being thankful while sitting in prison. Right? In Philippians 3, it says this: "Look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Jesus Christ and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh." Paul is bragging a little bit here. "If anyone thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more: circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever I gain, I had, whatever gain I had, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." The church is growing and spreading. The church is growing and spreading, and Paul is grateful for that. As he's sitting in prison, he counts all those things that he used to think were treasures in his life as loss, as rubbish, as trash, compared to the love of Christ that was shown to him when Jesus went to the cross and died to save him from his zeal, to save him from his persecution of the church, to save him from his sin. So as he's sitting in jail in Rome, he is excited because in Ephesus, his family, brothers and sisters in Christ, is growing. When we were expecting our children, we so looked forward to them being with us. And we would fix up the nursery. We would buy clothes. We would pick out names. And when they got here, it was an amazing thing. You know, the baby is growing in the womb, and yet it's so much more fulfilling to be able to hold them in your arms because they have become a part of your family, right? they already were, but just the realization, the final ability to hold them was just a blessing to us. Our family grew and we were thankful. And we, as they grew, give praises to God for the little blessings that he's given us. And Paul is grateful that God is blessing the church and growing his family, even if it is people that he has never met. Perfect strangers. But they've become a part of the church. They've become a part of his family. And for that, he is grateful. And then he's also writing to encourage them. In verse 13, it says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a zeal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory." Paul is a wonderful encourager. He's writing to them and he's saying, you know, be encouraged because you are now a part of the family of God because you have heard the truth. The Holy Spirit has revealed to you the truth of the gospel. And the Holy Spirit is a guarantee of an inheritance that you might not have understood that you were going to get. See, we are all sinners and we are all torn apart from God because of our sin. But when Christ died on the cross, what did he do? He applied his righteousness to us. And as he did that, we were adopted into the family of God. And when we became heirs of God's kingdom, we were given a portion of the inheritance that was rightly belonging to Christ. And he's saying, look, through your faith, you know, you're young in your faith. And so I want to encourage you, put your hope in Christ and Christ alone, because the inheritance you have is something you didn't deserve, but it is given to you. That inheritance is a reason to praise. He then reinforces the gospel to them in verse 18 through 22. It says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance and the holy people, in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. This power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in his heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion in every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church." Jesus Christ is on the throne. Jesus Christ, who came to earth and walked among us, was tempted just like we are, yet was without sin. Jesus Christ, he went to the cross. He spread out his arms and he shed his blood. Because without that, we find no hope. We have no hope without the sacrifice of Christ made on our behalf. Right? So he died, he shed his blood, he applied his blood to us to wash us clean. And then did he stay in the grave? He rose again on the third day, and then he demonstrated to us his power over death and sin and the things of this earth that make us cringe. Jesus Christ saved us when we were undeserving. We serve a risen Lord, a powerful Lord who has dominion over everything. There's nothing that can defeat him. All things are under his authority, according to Scripture. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And there is no enemy. There is no enemy that cannot be defeated and has not been defeated by Christ. All right, some people think soccer is a boring sport. right? So you can go out all game without a goal, and then there's a goal in the last minute of the game, and you would think that you know, every celebration in the world had just happened in that moment if you are in the stadium. And I had somebody explain to me the feeling of scoring a goal in soccer. It's like every basket in basketball being combined into one. It's like every touchdown in football being combined into one, or every home run in baseball being combined into one. And that's what the feeling of scoring a goal is in soccer in a lot of places. David danced before the ark when it was brought back to Israel. We in Christ have victory over every enemy, and we have a spectacular inheritance. That gives us reason today as we gather together to celebrate and praise him, to give thanks to him for what he's done. That's why we're here today, to give glory and honor and praise to him. We're here to celebrate. And this is the reason for worship. He loved us with abandon. He loved us with a passion that we can never understand, this side of glory. And he lavishes love on us in the fact that he would never spare even his own son to purchase our freedom from sin and death. And we are here to return thanks. But we are also here to ignite our hearts in worship of him so that we can go out into the world and we can serve him. We can be his hands and feet. We can go out and we can find the vulnerable, and we can bring justice to those who are causing their pain. We have the ability as God's church to speak love and grace into the life of everybody we come into contact with. And we do it because we have reason to praise him, to give him glory, to worship him. And as Paul did, he took his call seriously. He left everything behind to go out and to teach, to preach, and to bring people to Christ. And we've been given that task. That same task that Paul was given to us, of taking the truth to a lost world. And just as Paul was thankful for the people of Ephesus, it's right for us that when we see the lost coming to God, to give thanks and to praise for him in growing our family. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we have a holiday called Thanksgiving. It was a holiday that was established for us to give praise and glory to you for the provision and the establishment of this country. God, we thank you for the many blessings of this life. You have given us much and you've entrusted us with much. We pray that we would seriously consider giving everything that we have to follow you in accomplishing the task of taking the gospel to the lost. Lord, we are here today to worship, to celebrate, to give glory to your name. God, in our hearts, help us to be like David when he danced before the ark. Lord God, help us to celebrate together the knowledge that other people are coming to know you. Lord, in everything we pray this morning, we pray in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.